Welcome back to Tip TV Finance with my co-host, Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners, a name I never forget, and Jeremy Stretch, head of G10 strategy at CIBC. How are you today, Jeremy?
Good morning.
Right, we've got so many things I want to laugh about today. What's it, the Andy Haldane? Mark Carney going to be raising interest rates immediately because obviously he lowered them too far last year. And just the general dollar environment, I suppose. That's a serious part of the whole thing. But I mean, which bit do you want to take first?
Well, you've raised a number of interesting issues. I think it's going to be fascinating to see how Mr. Carney circumnavigates the Treasury Select Committee. Now, it's not ostensibly on monetary policy today, but invariably when you're talking to the Treasury Select Committee, and particularly when you've got Jacob Rees-Mogg, amongst others, on the Treasury Select Committee, I think you're never going to be far away from the macroeconomic...
I'm just bunking a £20 note and tell them to shut up.
Well, I suspect he probably
Frank
takes
Field a little. Probably take that if he's on there, isn't he?
A little more than that. Okay. But I think it's going to be fascinating to see how Carney deals with the issue about the interpretation of the post-Brexit environment, because of course we had Mr. Haldane suggesting that that the bank had its Michael Fish moment. For those with long enough memories, back to 87.
Gerald Ratner. That was his. That was Haldane's Ratner moment, wasn't it?
Well, it was. But I suspect
His career's finished, isn't it? Or is there a different rule for economists than there are for the rest of the world?
Well, one hesitates to say what will happen to the internal machinations of the Bank of England. But I think it'll be fascinating. I suspect Mr. Carney will take the route to say, well, yes, the forecasts haven't thus far proved to be correct. But that's partly due to my actions, or at least the actions of the Bank of England in terms of lowering rates. Now, you can argue that they've lowered them a little too far. They're going to have to look through the spike in inflation that we're going to get in the first half of this year. But Mr. Carney will probably suggest that his actions or the actions of the bank, both in terms of the liquidity injections during the Brexit process, but then in the subsequent period in terms of the easing in policy, is one of the reasons, if not the only, but if at least one of the reasons, why the macro environment has proved to be remarkably resilient in the latter stages of last year.
But isn't one of the issues that's come to the fore in terms of the narrative around Andy Haldane's sort of mea culpa and saying, well, actually our forecasts are quite crap, which is like apparent to everybody, is that the rider on that is, the reason they're bad is because people act irrationally. We've defined what rational behaviour actually looks like, and here's the equation, and you guys aren't complying with it. So it's our fault, apparently, collectively.
Well, in a sense, this is one of the eternal debates about whether economics is a science or not.
No, it's not.
Now, clearly,
it's not a debate.
Obviously, as an economist as a background, I have to defend the profession up to a point, but I think we have to be aware that that things are irrational, and particularly around unusual circumstances, and that's ultimately a scenario that we're continuing to live through. We're continuing to live through the political machination. So every time that Theresa May stands up and gives a SecPeach speech, probably it makes sense to be short of sterling, because one hesitates to say that she's going to say anything which is likely to be deemed to be supportive for the currency. So I think it is still the case that the macro fundamentals, at least into the end of last year, are still reasonably encouraging. Mm. We saw that in terms of the industrial output numbers earlier today, for example. But it is a case of, is this just delaying some of the influences of the Brexit process, particularly in terms of the pressure on disposable incomes, which is going to come through this year.
Mm. So the pound now, we're getting down to the sort of the pips are squeaking stage, really, especially against the dollar. I mean, this could be there could be a run on the pound, couldn't there? Let's say it breaks 120. There'll be nothing for another 10 cents or something like that.
Well, I think we are in a scenario where there is still more downside than upside, clearly, in sterling potential.
Yeah, but
why? I think the one question is in terms of if you're talking about against the US dollar, yes, I think there is some potential for the US dollar to rally, but I think a lot of the good news is already incorporated in the price of the dollar in terms of the assumption of monetary policy tightening from the Fed, the assumption that the Trump bounce is going to see a massive fiscal expansion, so we're going to have looser fiscal policy, tighter monetary policy. So I think that most of that is already in the price. Yes, sterling short positions have scope to be rebuilt fairly substantially, but I don't think necessarily that gives us the justification to say that we're going to see cable at 115 or 110. I think, yes, we can go lower. I think we can see 117, 118, but I don't see the justification or the momentum to take us to 110 unless we get to a very, very messy state of affairs in terms of the Brexit process once we've triggered Article 50.
But a hard Brexit and a weak Prime Minister who's blaming the press for the weak pound.
not a particularly persuasive policy mix. I think we can. I think that's probably a euphemistic way of putting it. If you're an international investor, and obviously, you know, I speak to a lot of international investors, they're on the outside looking in at the UK and saying, well, the UK has taken a fairly extreme form of policy process in terms of the Brexit debate and the Brexit vote, and now we're trying to work our way through that. And inevitably, that's going to have pain for the UK economy. I mean, we've taken a percentage point of our growth numbers for this year and next year. We don't expect a recession, but nevertheless, we're anticipating that the economy will be smaller than might otherwise been the case. And you know, as an international investor, it's very difficult to rationalise that.
Unless you're Snapchat, of course.
Well, yes, or unless you're on some kind of WhatsApp app, or you're just having something in 140 characters.
Right. Okay. So continued pound weakness. Today we've got the Trump speech, which it could be a massive. I mean,
could literally go anywhere.
Yes. What are you expecting?
Well, one hesitates to say in the light of the allegations. One hesitates to say in the light of the allegations that have been swirling around on the internet and other forums overnight. Now, of course, Trump hasn't actually had a set piece press briefing since the end of July, and you know the world really has changed quite dramatically since that period. Now, he had been scheduled to have a press briefing back in December about his business affairs. That was cancelled. So, conceivably, he could talk very little about policy today and merely talk about his business interests. So, I think there's a lot of hope and expectation that we will get some policy platforms or policy prescriptions today. As with everything with Trump, the rules of engagement are very different to any other, I use the word politician advisedly. So I think we have to be careful about reading too much in. But as I say, from the broader macro perspective, I think a lot of the good news from the dollar side of the equation is in the price. However, having said that, if you're holding the Mexican peso going into anything related to Trump, you have to be a little bit nervous. And clearly, you know, Mexico and Turkey have been the two currencies that have really been under the pump through the course of the first few sessions of this year. Doesn't look as though that scenario is going to change anytime soon.
Jeremy Stretch, head of G10 strategy at CIBC. Thank you very much for coming today and bearing up under all these attacks on your professional prowess.